If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 23. We'll begin with verse number 13, but just to explain what's going on. Jesus had been debating with the scribes and Pharisees in the previous chapter, and he's now addressing the multitude and his disciples concerning things about the Pharisees and about Pharisaism. And in verse 13, he begins a series of accusations and warnings against the Pharisees directed to them. And we'll begin reading there. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is on the altar, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and all things thereon, and whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And he goes on to make a few more applications that we might look at. But verse 23, he says in the latter part of that verse, ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The weightier matters of the law. It's an interesting phrase, if you think about it. It brings to mind the fact that there must be weightier matters of the law. There are things that God holds as more weight than other things. And they're almost never the things that we hold as weightier than other things. And that's evidenced in this passage, and we'll look at it and break it down a little bit. They, in that verse 23, they were so careful to tithe of herbs that grew. And these aren't even expensive herbs. I mean, there are some herbs that ounce for ounce have more value than gold because of their difficulty of growing and picking and the labor that's involved. These are not one of them. I mean, these are ones that grow about anywhere. Very simply, I mean, mint is probably growing behind half of our houses here today. They're very common. And yet they were so careful as to, 10 mint plants popped up. I better take one of them to the offering. And the law of God didn't really address herbs. I mean, they were to bring the fruit of their land, but it didn't really. And they had added this, and they had determined to be so careful that they should, if there were 10 mint plants, that they better bring one of them. And they were concerned with that. And by the way, there's a lot of people that try to say tithing is not taught in the New Testament, but he says right here, and not to leave the other undone. If it happens to cross your mind that you have 10 mint plants, by all means tithe on one of them, you know. He says, don't leave it undone. He's not condemning careful keeping of the law. He's not condemning that. He's not condemning careful reverence to the law at all. So we have to say that on the outset of this, that he's not casting that aside. He's not casting aside small or simple things in any way. We should obey in every avenue that we can possibly, that it would cross our mind to obey. And he's not saying to leave it undone, as he says there very specifically, and not to leave the other undone. Don't leave the small things undone. But in their keeping of the small things, they had omitted what he describes as the weightier things of the law, which says to us, there are weightier things of the law. And again, they're almost never what we see them as. It's never what our eyes perceive them as. Over and over again, as he's railing on them, verse 17, verse 19, several times he refers to them, verse 24, as blind, as not being able to comprehend, not being able to see. A part of their not being able to see, they had attached false weights to different things. And we'll look at the different areas that they had attached false weights. Now, first of all, the Lord addressed weightier things of the law. There are weightier things. He addresses judgment or justice. He addresses mercy. And he addresses faith. It echoes to some degree Micah 6:8, if you'll turn there briefly. We'll read verse number 7 as well. Micah chapter 6, verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Or shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Massive things are listed here. Huge things, big things, the firstborn, thousands of rivers, 10,000 rivers of oil, my firstborn, the fruit of my body. What will please the Lord? And he says, he has shown thee. If we had eyes to see the weightier things of the Word of God, they're clearly shown. The Bible emphasizes these things. They're emphasized, but often they're not what we emphasize. If we just took a poll, what do you think the most important thing to do is? What are the most important things? As New Testament missionary Baptists, what are the most important things? And we all wrote them down and we passed around the offering plate and threw them in there, what they were. We would get interesting answers. If it was just top of mind, what first came to us? What is so important? And he says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Jesus echoes those same things in Matthew 23 when he speaks of the weightier matters of the law, judgment, which is justice, doing justly, mercy, both the practice of it, the love of it, and the receiving of it. Those are all entailed in that mentioning of mercy. And faith, which also speaks of, as Micah 6:8, walking humbly with the Lord. Turn back to Matthew 23 again. He refers to these things in our text as the weightier matters of the law. In other words, these are areas where God puts emphasis. And not just does God put emphasis, but the entire Word of God puts emphasis in these areas. There is emphasis placed in these areas. But we do not often place our emphasis in these areas. I'll just give you some examples of how we do not do this. You know, if we were to, when the Word of God is preached and we begin to look at ourselves and we begin to judge ourselves, the areas that we put emphasis on many times are not the areas that God puts emphasis on. In fact, as we look at that mint and anise and those herbs there that are mentioned, they're nowhere mentioned in the law of God in the Old Testament. They had added those. They had added that as part of their rituals, as part of their tradition. Oh, we better make sure we had four sprigs of this pop up. We better take part of one. And, you know, and it was all for show, and it made them feel as if they were righteous. And they had added this. It wasn't anywhere in there. And not only had they added it, they had placed emphasis on it. They had taken something that was not even in the law of God and emphasized it as crucial, as most important. And we do this as well. We do this when we judge ourselves. We do this when we judge others, when we judge churches, when we judge pastors, when we judge members. We do this in many different ways. I see it all the time. We do it when we desire a spouse for one of our children. We have little idiosyncrasies and we have little things that we have put emphasis on in our lives. And in our minds, they're nowhere in the Bible. And we have made them the main thing. You know, old preachers many times said the main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. And we've heard that before. But we make a lot of other things the main thing. I could just throw one out there. Christmas. A lot of people make that the main thing. And there aren't any teachings. And they base all of this, and they will call pastors according to this. And no matter where you stand on the issue, that's not the first question to ask a pastor. That's not the first thing to find out. You need to find out where he's at on mercy. Is he a faithful man? Is he a man of justice? What kind of a spiritual man is he? And we need to know what he believes. And again, Jesus says, and not to leave the other undone. But by all means, if there's a place to put emphasis, it's got to be where God puts emphasis. You know, whenever the Bible speaks about a spiritual man, I think of when the Bible speaks of Barnabas. It says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and much people and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And that's what the Lord says about him. That's what the Word of God records about him as a good man. We may have a whole different list of requirements. And maybe they're good requirements, but they're not where God puts emphasis. Many times we'll fellowship with people that for all purposes in God's eyes are heathen. But they've dotted all of the dots that we want to dot. And churches call pastors around these things, and they fellowship around these. They build their entire fellowships around idiosyncrasies and places where God has not put the emphasis. And again, don't get me wrong. These other things are important. As Jesus said, not to leave the other undone. Don't leave the other undone. But by all means, put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. And we need to make this personal. Are we people of faith? What kind of people are we? The verse that first got me on the study that came to my mind was verse 15, "For ye can pass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." They liked numbers. And they had this emphasis on proselytizing, and they liked to grow their crowd and grow their group, and they had an emphasis on quantity and not quality. They had an emphasis on proselytizing, but no emphasis on discipleship. And we do this in our own lives, in our homes. I want to get to some of these false weights. He lists a number of them and that they had. He began railing on them. And verse 14, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer." They had placed they had made long prayer a weightier matter of the law. As if that show of a prayer was important. their false weights had begun to affect their prayer life. You know, it does with us as well. When we place the emphasis on the wrong things and we highlight and underline the wrong things, what do our prayers sound like? Well, they're full of all the wrong things. When we emphasize the wrong things, it's evidenced in our prayers. The content of our prayers. The things that we believe are important. And I have to think, and I include myself in this, how many times have I prayed and the Lord just said, Mark, you don't even have a clue of what your real problems are. You're praying about this and you're praying about that and you have no idea what your real problems are. That was the condition of the church of Laodicea. They had no idea what their real problems were. They turn with me to the book of Revelation just briefly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't mean to preach on the Laodicean attitude. That's not my purpose. But every area that they thought was important, they had taken care of. And we do the same thing. And every area that was important to them, those areas were full. Those areas were maintained. Those areas were taken care of. And as they looked at themselves and as they judged themselves, they said, I'm rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Everything is taken care of. All of the areas that I'm concerned about, that I have placed the emphasis in, are taken care of. And he says, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I wonder if that is how God sees us and how we see ourselves. We see as ourselves as not, we don't really, we're mostly there. I'm mostly there. I don't really need anything. I don't really, you know, I don't really need anything out of the message. I really don't need anything out of the Word of God. I'm mostly there. That's the idea of saying, I am rich and full. I don't need anything. That's what they were saying. We've arrived. We don't really need anything. And the Lord says, oh no, you don't realize how empty you are. You don't realize what all you're missing. You don't realize how poor you are, how blind you are, and how naked you are. But they had done all the things that they thought were important, that they had placed emphasis on. And yet the Lord said, you haven't done any of the things that I've placed emphasis on. You're poor, you're blind, you're naked in these areas. You're lacking in these areas. And he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. That you would be full in the areas that I put the importance on. The areas that I put the emphasis on. Spiritual qualities that I admire. We invent a lot of, you know, easy things to do that make us feel spiritual. And that was part of what they had done when they were willing to cross land and sea to make a proselyte. And that's easy enough to do. It's easy enough. It is a lot easier to get in a plane and fly somewhere and get on a boat and go somewhere and tell the gospel to somebody than to just be a true believer. That's a lot easier to do. It's a lot easier to go out and knock on doors than it is to be a witness and a light in your own home. It's easier. There's a mission field in our home. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands. Ministry to one another, but it's a whole lot easier to just go out and knock on some doors than to be a witness and a light in your own home. It's easier. And they had assigned weights to these things. And they had made that more important. They had made it more important to, it was weightier to them to make a proselyte than it was to just to be a quality Christian and disciple people around you. That was more to them. Some of these weights. Notice, he said, ye devour, in verse 14, ye devour widows' houses. They were taking advantage of those around them. And they had attached a very light weight to that one. They placed a real heavy weight on long prayer. And this is a little thing over here that we take advantage of widows. You know, they're not going to use that anyway. Their husband's not around anymore. And, you know, they were greedy and they were covetous. And they'd attached a light weight to that. That was just nothing to them. They didn't, you know, they figured they were in the service of the Lord and they deserved whatever they could get from people and people should just give it to them. And they attached a very light weight to that. So we saw, first of all, that false weights affect our prayer, and we see here that false weights affect our finance and our financial decisions. It enters into that area of our life, and we begin to put the emphasis in the wrong place. God tells us to take no thought. Don't put emphasis in provision, but we do. We put a lot of emphasis in provision. And God does not put emphasis there. We saw in the proselytizing and their mission work. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. Whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. They had come up with clever ways of getting themselves out of the laws of God, which the law of God told them not to swear by anything at all and to keep their oaths. And they had found clever ways of getting out of their oaths. If they had said, I swear by the temple, and they said, well, you didn't swear by the gold of the temple, so technically you don't have to keep that promise and you can get out of this. And they had ways, and they had attached a very light weight to lying and to deception. We do the same. A little half-truth is not as bad as drinking. You know, we've got our weights, we've got all our scales. We've got, you know, as Baptists, we've got heavy scales for drinking. And we ought not to drink. But we've got that one just, that is a heavy scale. We have no tolerance for that. But we'll tolerate a lie here and there. And they've got different scales. And the problem is they're not the same scales as God, and those are the only ones that matter. We have scales that don't match His scales, and I include myself in that, and as I study this, I wonder. I mean, I have to wonder, do I see anything God's way? I really do. As I read this passage, I wonder, do I see anything God's way? We have to look at this passage and understand that it's not written for the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, the Jews do not read the New Testament. They don't care about the New Testament. It's not even a Bible or anything to them. It's written for us. These things are written specifically for us, and they're warning us. And we invent these scales. We invent these systems. And again, these scales and these misplaced emphasis affect everything we do. They esteemed the temple lightly, but the gold, that was important. That was important to them. That gold was important. They esteemed the gifts and the tithe more than the altar. They had everything mixed up. In fact, their thinking was, by the Lord's definition here, completely backwards. It was completely opposite of what it should have been. And I get scared. I think, Lord, what do I miss? Where? And I know I misplaced the emphasis. We misplaced the emphasis. It's evidenced by the anxieties we carry around. We carry around anxieties because we're worried about things that God is not worried about. We're concerned about things that God is not concerned about. And we're emphasizing things that God doesn't emphasize. And as a result, we don't emphasize all the things that He would have us to emphasize. We get worried about whether our kids make good grades, but We're not all that worried about whether they learn about the Lord or not. And I'm guilty of that. I am guilty of thinking, have I raised my kids to be respectful and have good manners, and because those are the things that bug us when we're out in public, and then I think, oh man, what about, do they know about the things of God? Do they know those? Do they know what they need to know? And I'll get stressed and worried about their health and how straight are their teeth and have we got them to the orthodontist? And then how much time can go by between family devotions and the things that we need to be doing? And we'll stress and we'll worry and we'll wring our hands at night and my wife and I, and we'll plan and we'll scheme and how do we save money for this and how do we do that? And we ought to be in our beds at night saying, oh Lord, save them. You know, we get the emphasis all in the wrong place. And it's evidenced everywhere in our lives. You know, I mentioned it affects how we conduct church business. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a passage on church discipline. We know the passage and we know what all was going on there in that church. He says in verse 9, he says, I wrote to you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. I'm not writing to you about the world, I'm writing to you about the church, is what he's saying. Or with covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is a brother be called a fornicator. Well, that we place a pretty fair weight on that still as Baptists. I don't know how much longer we will. Many do not anymore. But how about the next one? Or covetous. Yeah, I've never known a church to exclude someone from being covetous. It's never happened. I've never known of it in reading through old church minutes of churches that I've been at and reading through their old books, and I've never seen somebody disciplined for that. Our focus gets wrong. And I guarantee if somebody tried, it would be a disaster. It would be a disaster. Because none of us have the eyes that we should have. Or extortioners, or idolaters. We're all idolaters. And we really are. We're all idolaters. We place the emphasis in other areas. The same goes with calling pastors, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And deacons and people in the church, I bring these things up because I just want to show you how we put an emphasis in the wrong place. Everything needs to be right. Just as Jesus said, don't leave the other undone. Certainly we need to call people who are qualified. We need to call people who know the truth, who believe exactly like us. Certainly we do. But notice where the emphasis is. There's hardly a doctrinal thing in here. Notice where the emphasis is. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant. I've never heard that asked at an ordination. Are you vigilant? I would have had gone, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure if I am or not. Sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. I don't like people in my house. You know, I've grown a long ways. I've come out of my shell, and I like having company. But if you'd asked me that at my ordination, I'd have probably said no. Apt to teach. Just wants to teach. Just has a bad habit of always teaching people. Not given to wine. No striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre. You don't hear these things asked. But patient. Are you patient? Oh, a preacher needs to be patient. not a brawler, not covetous. Again, there's that covetous. God's got an emphasis there. But we don't often place an emphasis there. If he's covetous when he enters the ministry, he probably won't be when he leaves. One that ruleth his own house. That's hard. There are so many that you can leave the house and put on a facade, and you can knock on doors, and you can put on a suit, and there are very few people that really just minister to their home. That takes effort. It doesn't take much effort. I mean, to say a few nice things from the pulpit. Now, it takes a lot of effort to get the message God gives you. But it doesn't take a lot of effort. Anybody can sound good. And anybody can look good and do a few things. But there's a lot here. There's a lot here. And we place emphasis in areas that God does not. We can see that in the things that are listed here. Pastor and I have talked numerous times. Churches many times have no idea how to call a pastor. They have no idea what to ask him or what's important. And the reason they don't is because they don't know what's important in their own lives. We don't know where God places the emphasis. And that was evidenced in the lives of these Pharisees. And he's warning his people about placing the emphasis where God places the emphasis. And again, he strictly clarifies, don't leave the other things undone. In whatever area we're talking about, whether it's church membership or calling pastors or whatever, we can't leave any of those other things undone. Everything has to be right. But they were placing emphasis in all of these small things. And this is our nature. If you look at those that maybe fellowship around one little issue like Christmas, that our nature is we'll focus in on these things and we'll leave everything else undone. As humans, that's our problem. It's not that we're not God. We don't do every little thing perfectly. When we decide to do one thing perfectly, we blow it on everything else. That's what we do. We blow it everywhere else. And that's evidenced in this passage. If we turn back to Matthew 23, as he continues in these latter portions here to speak to them, verse 24, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. We do this. And I'm afraid that I do it far more than I realize. I know God is looking at me and go, Mark, you're missing the boat. You're missing the whole thing. You've completely missed it. You're completely off track. You've just blown right by it. They would carefully strain their wine to get the fruit flies out. And then swallow a camel. It makes no sense. And people do it all the time. They do it all the time. They'll accept someone who believes the same as them on Christmas or head covering or whatever it may be. They'll bring them in and they'll completely ignore a major issue. We do it all the time. You know, when a church calls a pastor, they should want someone that is close to the Lord. Just someone that's, oh, we want somebody close to the Lord. You know, everything else should fall in place. If they're truly close to the Lord, everything else should fall right in line. If they're walking with the Lord, and, you know, those are the things that should be our emphasis. He said there in verse 23, the weightier matters of the law, judgment. Or as it was described in Micah 6:8, to do justly. We ought to, you know, sometimes we measure Christians too much by their clothing and not as much by their life. To do justly. Mercy. Are we people that place an emphasis on mercy? Both in being merciful, showing mercy, receiving mercy, telling about mercy. I mean, God's people ought to have an emphasis in mercy. We ought to be exemplary in mercy. We ought to be known as a merciful people. Here's a place of emphasis. And yet we'll completely blow that out of the water because we've made something else the main issue. And we'll argue about that. And in the process of that, we'll completely forsake mercy as we focus on something else and emphasize and attach a heavier weight to something else. We obliterate mercy and faith. Or as it says in Micah 6:8, walking humbly with our God. He places emphasis here above these other things. It's interesting that he puts these all in with tithing because, you know, we just have a tendency of checking things off the list. Okay, I tithe. I attend. I tithe. I sing. I pray. I do my devotions. And I do that. I find myself doing that. It's easy for us to measure ourselves by those things. But these other things are not as tangible. How are we doing with mercy? How are we doing with faith? Oh, man. Are we people of faith? Do we trust our Lord? Do we walk with Him? Oh, we ought to. If we ought not to be in the habit of admiring people, but if we're going to admire people, they ought to be people who have faith. Amen. You know, Brother Bourne has always been a feeble man as long as I've known him, but he's been someone to me who has exemplified mercy and faith. Just. Someone I love dearly and did a lot of things differently than maybe I would. But when you put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis, people will get along with other people. When you put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis, you'll get along. And again, not to leave the other undone. First Corinthians chapter 13. Says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I have not charity. If I don't have love, if I don't have mercy, a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Are you saying, I could preach? I could preach like nobody could preach. And it's nothing. It's nothing at all. If I don't have the love of God down inside of me, if it's not in me, and if it's not all of me, and if it doesn't consume me, it's a waste. It's a complete waste. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I could be the most doctrinally sound person you've ever known and explain the Scriptures in a way that nobody could explain the Scriptures and be completely unqualified to stand in the pulpit. And that goes on. It does. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. In myself, I have no equity outside of the things that God places emphasis on. Nowhere in the Bible does it place emphasis. In fact, it places the opposite. It never places emphasis on a great oratory or a great delivery or a great message. It's always the opposite. All the way through the Bibles. In fact, Paul said very specifically, I came not with wisdom of words, and I didn't come with eloquence. Even though I could preach and expound on everything there is to expound on, if I don't have the things that God places the emphasis on, I have no equity at all. I have no value. And oh, the preacher, any preacher that's worth his salt can feel that. He can feel that. He can feel that that despite whatever message God has delivered to him, if he comes into the pulpit without a life behind it, he knows. He can feel it. And it's the same for us in every part of our service. Whatever God calls us to do, we can feel that the unworthiness if we don't have a life behind. And we haven't placed the emphasis where God has placed the emphasis. We can feel that. When we worship, we can feel that. When we pray, we can feel that. You can feel it. You can echo with Paul, "I am nothing." If we haven't ministered to our spouse, if we haven't placed the emphasis where God puts the emphasis, if I haven't loved my brother, if I haven't walked in faith with God, you can feel it with Paul there. I am nothing. If I have not placed the emphasis where God places the emphasis. Notice verse 3. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned." If I do everything, in other words, he says here, everything physically possible that you could do, the most extreme. If I give my entire body to be burned, and I give everything I have to the poor, and have not charity, if I have not placed the emphasis where God places the emphasis, I am nothing. It profiteth me nothing. It doesn't do anything. Oh, do we have the emphasis where God places the emphasis? And again, don't get me wrong. Jesus says, "And not to leave the other undone." We ought not to be drunkards. You know, the Bible addresses that, to my count, less than a dozen times. He addresses mercy over 500 times, justice over 350 times, faith over 700 times. But we'll place all the emphasis in just a few little things. And again, we're not to leave those undone. But where does God place the emphasis in these things? Our dress, he mentions it less than 6 times. And again, not to leave it undone. It's got to be done. Church doctrine, it's important. Not to leave the other undone, as he says. Tithing, it's there. It's right there in the New Testament. We read it. It's right there. It's to be done. But none of these things were where the emphasis was to be placed. And the danger that's there of putting the emphasis in the wrong place that we read there is that we as people and we as humans, when we place the emphasis in the wrong place, we leave all the other completely undone. Let's read the rest of the passage here, verse 25 of Matthew 23. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." If you're like me, your tendency is to forget to wash the outside when you're doing dishes. I'm like, get that inside. You're trying to scrub all the stuff out of there that dried up in there. And that makes sense. You're going to eat out of the middle. It makes sense to clean that part. But what a Pharisee does is he cleans the outside. It makes no sense. The emphasis has been placed in the wrong area. And we do this. We'll get so disappointed in somebody that does one of the things that's on our short list. We've got a short list and we get so disappointed if somebody does one of those things. But it doesn't really bother us if our neighbor's covetous or if our brother... really doesn't have any faith, you know. And we might try to encourage him. Yeah, you should have more faith. But we're not going to get bent out of shape if somebody here doesn't have any faith. In fact, we'll probably let you preach or whatever. We're not all that concerned in whether or not you have faith. As long as you believe the things we believe and, you know, this is the way we judge things this way. It's easier to do these outside, external things than it is to really get the job done inside. It's easier. And so this is what they were doing. Verse 26, he says, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You know, by the time you get done cleaning the inside, hopefully you've had that bowl in the water and you've gotten the outside clean as well. Do it first. Notice that word first. That means don't leave the other undone. This is God's order. If we want to reform people on the outside first, and hopefully, you know, the inside will get done. And if it doesn't, oh well, we've got the outside done. Everything looks good. We're all neat and clean, and we're sitting in the pew, and everything's okay. You know, we can get people sitting in the pew, but the inside is unreformed. Verse 27, he makes another analogy. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Certainly, we've all been to the building over here at Flint Memorial Cemetery, and it's full of marble walls. On the other side of that marble is decay, rottenness, putrefying rottenness on the other side. We're that way. It's our nature. We place the emphasis in the wrong area. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. Do we place the emphasis in life, in spiritual matters, where God places the emphasis? I fear, I know there's areas I don't. I know that it is easier to be worried about braces than it is to be worried about an obedient heart. I know that's easier. That's the inclination. And if I can see that in that area, is it everywhere else? I'm sure it is. I'm sure all over the place we're more worried about things, placing emphasis on things that God just simply doesn't place the emphasis on. And then we have a way like the Pharisees of wiggling out of the things that God actually puts the emphasis on, as they did. They had all their little tricky sayings about getting out of their oaths and what they could and couldn't do. And we do these things. We emphasize things that sometimes they're not even in the Bible, as they did concerning these herbs. And we build a life around them. We build our whole lives around things that are not even there. And I'm sure, and we have to pray like David, search me, O Lord, try me, look at me and tell me where I've got it wrong. Show me if there be, you know, if there's some wicked way in me, if there's iniquity in me. Show me if I've emphasized the wrong things, like he did with the church in Laodicea, and he just told them, you're blind, you're naked. These are the areas that you're lacking in. And we need to pray and we need to fear and ask that the Lord would help us to emphasize the things that he would emphasize. To look at our lives, to look at our plans, all of our priorities, the things that we place first of in importance, the things that we fund with our finances first, the things that we fund with our time first. Are these the areas that God places the emphasis? And I'm sure, if you're like me, there's areas, a number of areas where we've not placed the emphasis. And then it affects all the areas of our lives, as it did with them. It affects our prayer, affects our finances, our worship. Everything was affected in their lives by where they put the emphasis.